Welcome back to our church history series here on the Enduring Word YouTube channel. Now, so far, we've marked the rise of two of the three major branches of the Reformation. We've considered Lutheranism and the Radical Reformers, also known as the Anabaptists. Over the next few episodes, we're going to consider the third branch, known as Calvinism or Reformed Christianity, though that's probably too broad a label since there were other movements of the Reformation that would not agree with all of John Calvin's theology. I begin with a summary of the opening section of Bruce Shelley's excellent book, Church History in Plain Language, and his chapter on John Calvin. Because the road to Strasbourg was closed by the war between France and Spain, the young French scholar had to pass through Geneva. His plan was to spend the night. He ended up spending many. The city was in disarray. Immorality was rampant. The political situation was a mess. And there was little prospect for help. A fiery reformer by the name of William Farel had been preaching in Geneva for 4 years. His messages were so effective that masses at the Catholic Church were halted. But Geneva's embrace of the Reformation stemmed more from political ambition than out of a sincere commitment to Protestant theology. No one took the lead to install the biblical order to the city's institutions. Geneva needed a manager, someone who could step into the political and spiritual vacuum and bring order. When Farel heard that John Calvin was in town, he went to see him. He found in Calvin someone who could meet Geneva's need and urged him to stay and help establish the work there. And Calvin begged off, saying that he had further studies to pursue. In a prophetic voice, Farel warned him, quote, "You're only following your own wishes. If you don't help us in this work of the Lord, he will punish you for seeking your own interest rather than his," unquote. Calvin was terror-stricken. The last thing that he wanted was to offend God. And so he stayed and took up the cause of installing the principles of the Reformation in Geneva. Now, years later, Calvin remarked, quote, "Being by nature a bit antisocial and shy, I always loved retirement and peace. But God has so whirled me around by various events that he's never let me rest anywhere, but in spite of my natural inclination, has thrust me into the limelight and made me get into the game, as they say," unquote. John Calvin was born in the small town of Noyon, 60 miles northeast of Paris. His lawyer father was eager to see John and his two brothers become priests. It was clear from an early age that John was both intelligent and serious. His scholarly seriousness impressed the head of a wealthy local family that sponsored his education. He entered the University of Paris at the age of 14 and quickly mastered Latin. He then entered the School of Philosophy, where he showed brilliance in writing and skill in logical argument. Now, people might not have liked what Calvin said, but they couldn't misunderstand what he meant. He left the university in 1528 with a Master of Arts degree. He was all of 19 years old. John turned to the study of law at the University of Orléans, but after his father's death in 1531, he returned to Paris as a student of the classics, intent upon a career as a scholar. His studies brought him in contact with new and dangerous ideas circulating around Paris. The Reformation had arrived. It wasn't long before Calvin was converted, not only to faith in Christ, but to the task of Reformation. He gave up his career as a classical scholar and identified with the Protestant cause in France. Then, in the fall of 1533, Nicholas Cop, the rector of the University of Paris, gave a strong Protestant address. Many suspected that it was Cop's close friend, John Calvin, who had written it for him. The university was thrown into such an uproar that Calvin had to flee the city. He took refuge in Basel, Switzerland, where in March of 1536, he published the first edition of what would become the highly influential Institutes of the Christian Religion. This was the Reformation's first systematic theology. Now, a systematic theology is one that devotes chapters to specific doctrinal subjects. So there's a chapter on theology, which of course is the study of God. There's another chapter on Christology, the study of God the Son, of Christ. There's one on pneumatology, the study of the Holy Spirit. Soteriology, that's the study of salvation. Ecclesiology, that's the study of the church. There's even a theology of anthropology, human beings. Many systematic theologies often conclude with a chapter on what's called eschatology, or the study of last things at the end times. Now, Calvin's work was the most cogent, logical, and readable explanation of Protestant doctrine that the Reformation produced. It gave its young author overnight fame. Calvin worked on the Institutes for the rest of his life, adding more volumes and editing existing content. 20 years later, it was essentially the same work, though it was obviously much larger. His core ideas never changed. At first, it was a slim one-volume work, but 5 revisions later, the last of them being in 1559, contained 4 books with 80 chapters. Now, the preface to the Institutes addressed it to King Francis I of France. It really defended the Protestants from the criticisms of their enemies, vindicating their rights to fair treatment. No one had spoken so effectively on their behalf. And with this, Calvin was assigned the leadership of the Protestant cause after Martin Luther. Now, speaking of Luther, a comparison between he and Calvin would be proper here. Now, keep in mind that only 20 years separated them. Calvin certainly knew of Luther, and Luther heard of the young Frenchman in Geneva. While the cornerstone of Luther's theology was the doctrine of justification by faith, Calvin's, you'd have to say, was the sovereignty of God. They both had a massive sense of the majesty of God. But for Luther, that all just added to the richness of the miracle of forgiveness. Calvin's emphasis rested on the unassailability of God's purpose. Calvin shared Luther's 4 central Protestant beliefs. But he was born a generation after Luther in a different land and was a far different sort of person. Luther was a monk and a university professor. Calvin, he was a scholar and a city manager. While both men lived and worked during a time of intense social turmoil, you'd have to say that their realms of influence were very different. Luther saw himself as the point man for an entire movement in the church, calling it back to what God intended it to be. Calvin followed in Luther's train, but to a highly specialized work in it, to implement biblical principles in the civil sphere. Now, the differences between Calvin and Luther, they're reflected in their portraits. As Luther aged, he filled out. His face softened, though his tone became more acerbic. As Calvin aged, though thin to begin with, he lost weight. His face became angular and lined. He looks almost like he's cut from stone. I joke with my friend David Guzik about this. He has a collection of Reformation bobbleheads, and I recommend a bobblehead of John Calvin never, ever be made, since the man was the epitome of inflexible. Calvin's exceptional administrative abilities enabled him to build on the work of Ulrich Zwingli. The reform that Zwingli started at Zurich had spread rapidly in German-speaking East Switzerland. The Swiss Reformation spread to the important German city of Strasbourg, where Martin Bucer was more sympathetic to Zwingli than he was to Luther's teaching. When Zwingli died at the Battle of Cappel, the Reformation in Switzerland was left without a leader. Zwingli's student, Heinrich Bullinger, he did a fine job of leading the church in Zurich, but that was pretty much the limit of his ability. The success of what Calvin was doing in Geneva shifted the focus away from eastern Switzerland to the west, the French-speaking Swiss city of Geneva. And when Calvin fled Paris for Strasbourg in the summer of 1536, his brother, sister, and 2 friends went with him. They put up for a night at an inn in Geneva, but word spread quickly that the author of the Institutes was in town, and Farel, of course, was ecstatic. Desperate for help, he rushed to the inn and pleaded with Calvin to stay. Upon his consent, Farel convinced the Geneva City Council to appoint Calvin to lead the Reformation there. It's interesting that Calvin never held an official political post. He didn't even become a citizen of the city until 1559. Calvin's goal was to make Geneva a holy commonwealth, where the law of God became the laws of man. He preached daily and twice on Sunday. He started a school for training young people and arranged for the care of the poor and the needy in the city. In fact, under Calvin's direction, Geneva became a model of Reformation belief and practice. And by model, I mean example. Protestant refugees from all over Europe flooded into the city. They sat under Calvin's teaching, and when they returned home, took his theology and Geneva's example with them. That accounts for the dramatic spread of Calvinism throughout Western Europe. Now, in addition to his strenuous preaching schedule, Calvin was a prodigious writer. He penned lectures, theological treatises, commentaries on 33 books of the Old Testament, along with the entire New Testament, excluding Revelation. Church historian Philip Schaff claims that Calvin was the founder of the modern historical grammatical method of studying the Bible. Calvin also carried on a massive correspondence with people literally all over Europe. But Calvin's launch at Geneva, you'd have to say it got off to a rocky start. A mere 18 months into his new position, both he and Farel were banished for disagreeing with the city council. Calvin resumed his prior journey to Strasbourg, where he settled down and pastored for 3 years, married the widow of an Anabaptist, and became the adoptive father to her 2 children. By 1541, Calvin's reputation had spread even more. He wrote 3 more books and revised his institutes. He'd become good friends with leading reformers, Martin Bucer and Luther's successor, Philip Melanchthon. He was asked to return to Geneva by the authorities and spent the rest of his life establishing a theocratic society there. Calvin believed that the church should faithfully mirror the principles laid down in the Bible. He argued that the New Testament taught 4 orders of ministry: pastors, elders, deacons, and doctors, doctors meaning teachers. Geneva was organized literally around these 4 offices. So pastors conducted church services, they preached, administered the sacraments of communion and baptism, and cared for the spiritual welfare of parishioners. In each of the 3 parish churches, 2 Sunday services and a catechism class were offered. The Lord's Supper was celebrated every 3 months. Doctors, or as we would call them, Bible teachers, they lectured on Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays in Latin on the Old and the New Testaments. Their students were mostly older schoolboys and ministers, but really anyone could attend those lectures. The elders, these kept an eye on spiritual affairs. They saw someone was often snockered with too much ale, or that Mr. Smith beat his wife, or that Mr. Jones and Mrs. Davies were seeing a little too much of each other. They admonished them in a brotherly manner. If the behavior continued, they reported the matter to the church's governing body, which would summon the offenders for an inquiry. Excommunication was a last resort and remained in force until the guilty party repented. Finally, social welfare was the charge of the deacons. They were the hospital management board, the social security executives, and the almshouse supervisors. The deacons were so effective, Geneva literally had no beggars. The system worked so well for so many years, when the Scotsman John Knox visited Geneva in 1554, he wrote a friend that the city is, quote, the most perfect school of Christ that ever was in earth since the days of the apostles, unquote. Now, we have a lot more to look at with Calvin in Geneva, and we will get to it in our next episodes.